CliffCentral.com.
All right, all right, all right.
Ready.
We are here for the Burning Platform, which is what we do on a Thursday. We are very, very happy to be looking at the election. And in the run-up to the election, we are looking at speaking to every one of the political party leaders. And so far, we've had 100% turnout for the invitations that we've issued. And I'm thrilled that one of the biggest parties, one of the biggest parties we've spoken to so far, the leader of that party is back again. And I'm very happy to see him. He is Herman Mashaba, leader of Action SA. And we've got Kanthan Pillay here as well, who is often our, what would we call you? You are the...
I'm the gadfly.
No, no, no. Sorry. I think the word might be the protagonist sometimes in the questions that we get to ask these leaders. So Herman, nice to see you. You're looking like somebody who's been on the campaign trail. You've been busy as hell.
I'm sure
I don't mean you look tired and worn out.
I am tired. What do you mean? don't be trying to be nice to me.
It's, don't worry, you know,
say it as it is. You can imagine at 11 o'clock I'm making a big national historic announcement to announce the premier candidate for Gauteng, the last one in the nine of the provinces. Gauteng, it's, as you're aware, is the economic hub, not of only South Africa, of South Africa. Without Gauteng working, South Africa is not going to work.
Correct.
The African continent is not going to work. So I'm making a very big announcement at 11 o'clock, big media press conference.
South Africa is waiting for me. You were going to give us a sneak peek ahead of everyone else. But okay. All right, we'll wait. We'll wait till 11. It's fine. You come and you tease us like this. So listen, we're talking to all the party leaders, and we had Colleen Makubele in last week. You smile. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. I know that you are part of the multi-charter.
Multi-party charter. No, we are. We are.
And I know that...
But at the time when Colleen was involved with us, it was immediately after the election. There was no multi-party charter. At the time, we just really had a coalition agreement.
And she's now with Sarah, which she told us about last week. But Action SA now... you know, the last time we had a big national election, it was the first
that you municipal election.
The municipal
in November 2021.
And since then, a lot has happened. I mean, you're in the top five big parties across the board.
Officially.
You are contesting in all nine provinces, as you've already mentioned. Mm. So things are markedly different to where they were the last time we spoke about elections with you.
Well, I think to Gareth and everyone, I can just, if you thought we surprised South Africa or we shook up the political establishment in 2021, remember at the time we were just over a year old, right in the middle of COVID, because Action SA was launched on the 29th of August 2020, right in the middle of COVID, a few weeks before the elections, at the time when analysts said, I'm a stock fell, I've got no chance of anything. They said, if Action SA gets three councillors in the city of Johannesburg, they would have done well. Everywhere else, we must just really forget. IEC saw something that the analysts did not see and tried to play a big one on me. They made us to contest as a logo. People voted for a logo, but results came. We emerge as the sixth biggest political party. People who voted for us as a logo, 550,000. 550,000 in six municipalities out of 278. So now extrapolated today, we are going to contest every corner of this country, every voting station, every province, the entire country. We ready. I'm sure you can't go anywhere without now noticing our posters. Today I'm making the big. I've got a big press conference at 11 o'clock to announce the final premier candidate for Gauteng. Very important an announcement. If you thought we performed well in 2021.
So what's your prediction for your performance in the national?
Well, look, I'm not an academic person, and I'm happy to give you an academic exercise, because whoever's going to, whether it's me or it's a professor from Harvard or University of Cape Town, it'll be academic, because we are exactly today 90 days from elections. There are millions of South Africans who today don't know anything about Action SA. But by end of today, there'll be an additional 200 or 500,000 people who are going to know about our party. For me, if Action SA does not emerge as the second biggest political party,
I'll personally, in Gauteng or national?
No, hang on a second. Second biggest after who?
No, well, after the NC.
So you're not rating MK's chances in this at all?
MK, who are they? I don't know, maybe you know something that I don't know.
Shots fired here, guys.
Yo, all right.
No, I'm saying, if we don't, I'll be disappointed because I wasn't born to fail, and I'm not in politics to be in opposition. I'm in politics to govern, and not to govern because I want to really be in government. I hate this job with a passion. It is my commitment, and it is my dream, and it's something that I don't take for granted. I work like a dog to ensure that we can democratically remove ANC government from power. So it's not going to happen by chance. Everything that you see happening with Action SA doesn't happen because Herman Mashaba is a God-fearing man, and I'm a God-fearing man. Every morning before I do anything, I pray for God to give me the wisdom to go and work. But at the end of the day, I'm the one who does the work. But at the end of the day, the voters of South Africa will speak.
And you're feeling
if we emerge not as the second biggest political party, I'll be disappointed. My team disagrees with me because I think majority of people I work with are very conservative, very informed. They risk averse. Whereas with me, I can tell you, my life, I'm 64 years of age, so I'm not a baby. If you look at the life of this human being in front of you, has always been thrown in a big the pool and deep end, and I always swim out. Put me in a corner, because right now ANC has really put us in a corner, and I can tell you I'm gonna get out of this corner. There's just no way that I'm gonna allow another.
You're feeling very confident. Yeah,
it's not. It's what has to happen, because let's really face it. In the event of ANC coming back into power. And obviously, if they do come back into power, they won't come back on their own. They will obviously be rescued by the EFF
MK.
And MK.
Oh, okay, so you do know about MK. All right, good.
Yeah. That's the only time ANC will come back into power, if they are rescued by the EFF and MK. And that would really be the most disastrous result for South Africa.
What do we do then? Do we just pack up and go?
Oh, my goodness. It's honestly, once a few years ago, used this analogy, and it applies to this particular arrangement with EFF, ANC, and MK.
That is presuming, though, that they would come to an arrangement, which we don't know for sure.
I can tell you, yeah, if they do, I can tell you, it'll be someone actually being whisked into Morningside Clinic with a running stomach. And the first thing the surgeons give this person is laxative to fix him up.
Yeah, okay, I got you. So in other words, it'll kill the patient.
Yeah, no.
So Herbert, I think we're all in agreement around here that the country's ready for change, and we know about the problems that are going to come from an ANC, EFF, MK coalition. So, but let's talk about the forward path. Let's talk about the difference that you're planning to bring in terms of where we're going forward right now. So the background to this, when you first stood for municipal elections as mayor, I voted for you. back in the day. When you stood for mayor of Joburg.
When in 2016
in 2016.
In
2016, yes. When you know, because I'd followed your career from the Free Market Foundation back in the days.
Okay.
I supported projects that you put in place at the time. The Kyalam project out in Paris.
Yeah, with Leon Law, we really work hard. We managed to get more title deeds for South Africans than all governments concerned.
Absolutely.
All of them combined.
I funded three of those title deeds myself at the time because it was a great project. And when you got into office in Joburg, so I wanted three things from you, which we've talked about in the show before. I said, I just want Mashaba to do three things for me. Okay, I want him to fix the potholes. I want him to fix the traffic lights and clean up the streets. And by the time you left office as mayor, none of those three things had actually happened. And that was a crushing disappointment for me. In fact, the significant thing that happened to my mind under your watch was the renovation of the M2. You did that with remarkable speed and efficiency. But those three core things which I wanted for the city were not actually done. And we fully aware of the fact that you had this disastrous relationship with the EFF and where that ended up leading.
The EFF that collapsed the administration. My administration was collapsed officially by the ANC and the DA.
All right. Look, tell us about that. But more importantly, tell us now in terms of actual delivery on the ground.
I think, Catherine, in terms of the potholes, cleaning of the city and fixing of the lights, I'm really not really sure. I'm happy to send you the report signed off by the Auditor General. When I took over the city, one of the first things I did, because you can't just really go into a city or into, you are a CEO of a big company, and then the first day you just start working. Firstly, you've got to understand the numbers. You've got to understand things that that are facing you. How much money do you have to tackle those issues? One of the first things I did was to do the infrastructure backlog. I had to do it quickly so that I know what I'm dealing with. Do I have, what are the issues, and do I have the money for it? When I took over the city, working with Treasury, discovered I've had in the city of Johannesburg, I was facing 170 billion rands of infrastructure backlog. 170 billion rands. And I've always said on many occasions that I'm not sure whether the ANC, when they took power in 1994, whether they didn't know there's what is called maintenance or they forgot. I don't know. So 170 billion rands. And you know how much I had to fix this? I only had 8 billion rands. It is there. Now, so if anybody honestly would expect me to address a 170 billion rands hole created by, at the time, 22 years of absolute neglect. And I've got 8 billion rands. I did not have a cent more. Honestly, then, if anybody says I failed...
But you've got a track record of starting businesses with a budget that's non-existent compared to the size of the task that needs to be.
Let me correct you and really give you a practical life because I think when you deal with a practical life, it becomes easy. I started a business, Black Lakmin, in January of 1985, with a 30,000 rands loan in a 200 square meter factory. But I had to operate with a 30,000 rands. I needed more, but I could only raise 30,000 rands.
To my
but
point.
What I'm saying is
170 billion. I'm writing that off because
I've learned over my life to work with what I've got to get to where I want to go long term. It took me 5 years to build my own factory. I started in a rented factory, 200 square meters, January of 1985. 2nd of February 1990, when de Klerk announced the unbanning of political parties and everything, I built my own factory, state of the art, cost me over 10 million rands, and I did not owe anyone a cent. But now, tell me now, if you are saying I should have sorted out 170 billion rands hole with 8 billion rands in 3 years. I think, honestly, I'm happy to if we take that to be, if we take that to be a failure, I'm happy to admit that I was failed. But there was nothing I could do. There's no human being on earth who could ever solve something.
Assuming you're president tomorrow, and it would certainly be better than all of the other lot that we've got right now. And you've got a national budget. Let's say, by some miracle, it's about a 3 trillion budget. What are your priorities?
The first thing I will do is to invest in law enforcement agencies, make sure that that the citizens of this country are protected, that I don't have to sit in a country where 86 people are being murdered every day. I don't have to sit in a country where every 11 minutes a woman is raped. I've got to deal with this drug cartels uptaking South Africa as a playground. So I need to capacitate law enforcement agencies, reestablish as a matter of agency the Scorpions. I need to reestablish as a matter of agency what we used to call the Brixton Maiden Robbery Squad. That's, for me, it's important, because if I don't really start by making sure that we don't have eight days in July, I've got to ensure that I've got our law enforcement agencies in place. Because if I don't do that, then everything else is not going to work.
That's number one. What are the other two top priorities?
The second one I need to do is to immediately, through Parliament, we need to review our labor legislation. This draconian labor legislation where COSATU and the South African so-called communist destroyed business in this country, particularly SMMEs, where we can allow the business community to really be able to operate and hire and run businesses. So we've got, because if you don't review that legislation, every time businesses will get into trouble.
Music to Canton's ears, because we asked this of previous people in the studio and they got rubbish answers.
Roger Jardine refused to answer the question.
I've got to, as a matter of agency, deal with this draconian laws. Thirdly, I have to ensure that in our statute book, We remove any race-based legislation. South Africans, I need all South Africans to be South Africans regardless of their race, gender, and whatever. I need a united South Africa, because once a nation is united as one nation, I can tell you, everything else will follow.
All right.
You wanted three. Those are the three I will give
that's
you.
That's a great start.
I think that's going to be music to our audience's ears.
Well, maybe there'll be people who disagree. I mean, Patrick in the comments.
If you don't, anyone who doesn't agree with me, let me tell you, Gareth, I wasn't brought into this world to make make friends. And I'm not in this business to make friends with anyone. So, those who don't like what I do, it's not my problem. They must not make their problem my problem.
I want to go to there's a supporter of yours here who says, Herman's objective at the moment is purely to get rid of the ANC, and that is fine. We can see that they are public enemy, number one. Afterwards, all the rest follows. Do you agree with that?
Well, look, if anyone smokes all these drugs that the cartels are bringing here, do you think that you can solve the problem with ANC? You must be smoking very, 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 very dangerous something. So the first order of business in this country, and I think that is why I'm mobilizing South Africa to know the first order of business, because when you operate, you've got to really know what you first have to do. We've got to remove the ANC from government.
Right.
ANC can't be part of the solution of this country.
Pumi has a question.
By every indication, there is going to be a need of some kind of coalition. You yourself are part of the MPC, which at the moment is a DA-led MPC.
No. Please, Pumi, let's correct that. Very far from the truth. That's what the DA tried to position themselves to be, and we've called them to order. Please ask John Steenhuisen to see if he can make that statement. He'll be in big trouble because we've got a legal agreement. There's no one who leads this. Right,
I haven't finished asking my question.
Okay. No, I think I needed to really correct, because if you know, if you don't correct it, then people will have this impression.
Okay. So there's a legal agreement in place. There is this MPC. Can you guys work together? Because in the city of Tshwane, working together has proven to be a bit of a difficulty. Going forward, what are you going to do differently at the national level that you have failed so far in Joburg and in Tshwane?
Well, I think for me, very good question to say. When we started in Tshwane, it was really very turbulent times. I think it was really dreadful. It was painful because you remember that we voted the DA into office against their will. We voted them in Johannesburg on the day of voting because 24 hours before the first council meeting, DA decided to walk away from our coalition arrangement. And I woke up on a Monday morning while I was having a shower. I had an idea to say, look, we are not going to allow ANC in Johannesburg, Ekurhuleni, and Tshwane. At the time, we had spent the whole day Sunday trying to get the DA to come to their senses. So Kone Molde, Tlhabise from the IFP. We literally spent the whole day. We don't know how many meetings we had with them to really knock some sense into them because we had the numbers. But they refused. Monday morning, on the day now, at 10 o'clock, we've got to have our first council meeting. I woke up. I decided, no, we are not going to allow this to happen, not under my watch. One thing that I've been trained to do is to accept defeat after trying.
Right. Got to move on.
And then what I did, I contacted our Senate. The Senate of Action SA is our highest decision-making body. I called it an urgent Zoom, this thing. I said, chaps, we've got a huge challenge on our hands. Would you guys give me the mandate to see if we can rescue the situation? I gave them the proposal. I said, let's speak to the other coalition partners, ACDP, Freedom Front Plus, and others. And I said, what I'll do, you remember when I was the mayor of the city of Johannesburg, I had relationship with the EFF, but I'd not seen them since I left. So I said, let me speak to the EFF, because I remember the Wednesday before, they had a big press conference that they're not going to work with the ANC. So I phoned Floyd Shivambwa. Luckily, his number was still working, and he took my call. In fact, when I initially phoned, the phone was just ringing. I couldn't get hold of him. But luckily, 5 minutes later, he called me back. Uh-huh. I said, Floyd, at that press conference, you know what the Malema said about me? He said, I'm a novice in politics, and insulted me, you know. So as my opening remarks are to Floyd, I said, Floyd, I know and accept that I'm a novice in politics, but we've got a challenge which I'm sure if we work together we can resolve. DA has walked out of negotiations with us. We had the numbers. We had to run Johannesburg. Ekurhuleni was so that we did not have the numbers, but Tshwane we have. But DA, they have decided, they're saying they're fielding their own mayors on their own, with not even having half of what is required to vote a mayor. They are going on our own. I said, DA must have be having something up their sleeve. There's something. I mean, how do they feel their own person without having the numbers? I said, please, I've spoken to my Senate, has given me my mandate. I've spoken to the Freedom Front Plus, ACDP. Mm-hmm. They are happy. And would you guys give me the mandate to speak to the EFF? That's what I said to the EFF. The Senate has given me the permission. Can we vote the DA into office in all three municipalities without their knowledge? We don't tell them. And we can then talk to them. At least we've kept the ANC out.
And they agreed.
Yeah. 5 minutes later, he says, let me consult, and for sure less than 10 minutes.
But from a strategic point of view, you had to do that, because if you had actually not, if you had voted with the ANC, then the voters would have given you an absolute drubbing. So
No, over my dead body, Herman Mashaba will work with the ANC. So that is not even a debate.
Exactly.
That is not a debate we should have.
But Pumi asked.
But so my question stands.
Yeah, I'm getting to that. Because if you don't understand the background, Pumi, you will forever work on news headlines. And that's unfortunately, it's a problem, not only people in South Africa. So basically what happened is.
You will not work. Work with the ANC.
Over my dead body.
Okay, all right.
No, over my dead body.
So we're clear. That's a very emphatic answer.
Well, okay, so we then obviously started working with the DA. We voted them into power without their knowledge. And you know what? They only started talking to us a week. You've got 14 days in South Africa per constitution to form a government. Now we voted them in. They've got the mayor. They've got speaker. They've got everything. Big numbers. They've got outright majority by far. Now, obviously, we thought they will then approach us immediately so that we form a coalition government. As a section, SA, with in Johannesburg, with as the third biggest political party with 44 councillors, only spoke to us a week before. The first 7 days they were talking to smaller parties like COPE and whatever, left us out. So we sat back and waited. Then, obviously, eventually, on the last minute, we agreed. We really compromised, and they was an insult, but at the end of the day, keeping the ANC was more important to us than anything else. And they gave us this mayor who was one of the most arrogant human beings you can ever come across.
Who's this?
Williams?
Randall Williams.
Randall Williams. Mm. We've got an agreement with the DA. It is this public knowledge on things that we agreed we are going to do. Insourcing of frontline workers like cleaners.
Which was one of the biggest things I had a problem with in terms of
your problem, it's your problem, it's not mine.
You see, the reason why it's a problem, insourcing is a problem because it allows for consolidation of power in the hands of the unions. And that means that pick it up goes on strike, for example.
You've got
all
it
of
so
the
wrong.
Services in Joburg shut down.
In fact, what you are talking about is the opposite of what I broke the stronghold of unions. By insourcing, I actually broke the stronghold of unions in practical terms because while these guys were working for tenderpreneurs who were driving 11, 10 cars, exploiting these people, they belonged to COSATU. And COSATU had no protection whatsoever. And when I insourced them, they all resigned from the union.
Bigger government. Effectively, what you are doing is you're consolidating more employment rather than setting up a number of individually owned companies, and call them SMEs as an example.
Kenton, you're not going to get us under Action SA. Under Action SA, we are unapologetic. Don't tell us about the small government at the expense of poor people when we've got such inequalities. I'm not prepared as Action SA, as a leader of Action SA, to really make Kenton a multimillionaire at the expense of poor people. I give you 16,000 rands for a security guard. You pay a poor guy 3,000 rands a month and you pocket the rest. You don't give them employment letters. They've got no benefits and so forth. So if that's what you guys have got in mind,
in terms of things like Pick It Up as an example. I'm talking in terms of the Joburg Roads Agency, in terms of how that's actually conducted, the efficiencies that come from having the private sector actually take care of those things are massive. And the service delivery to the poorest of the poor, which we all have a vested interest in, actually significantly better
It has never happened in the history of mankind since 1917 when the Communist Party under Lenin and what's this other brutal evil
Stalin.
Man? Stalin. Ever since they took over, brought in communism, thinking that they're doing this for the people. What happened to the people? and they go for the professionals, take their
but
farms
insourced,
or whatever.
That's exactly what they did. They shut right. down private enterprise. The cool acts were shut down.
Okay, let me deal with that.
Let's get to a question.
Okay, now we had this issue. We discovered in the process of people of Amanskral where I was born and raised. In 2019, DA gave a contract to Edwin Sodi for 294 million rands. Edwin Sodi, who had no knowledge about water treatment plant. So when we ask her this question, he's refusing to cooperate with. We're in government with him to say, tell us, how did Edwin Sodi get the money paid in advance and he's gone? He's nowhere to be found. And the man is arrogant. The man wants to give three of our power stations unsolicited bid. When we question this, he says we are difficult. Honestly, if they were the DA thought we were difficult, if you govern, co-govern with Action SA, don't think we are here to make friends with you. And we want you to hold us on the same standard. So we were questioning all these issues that it is within our right, our constitutional and moral right. Eventually, we managed to really to make sure that the DA gets rid of him. They've now put in Silius, and I think he's behaving the better. And the situation in Tshwane, without any doubt, it's slightly improving better than this guy. So, and right now, we now have an official multi-party charter. Yesterday alone, we had a press conference at Kelvin Power Station with the DA, with all the parties in the multi-party. So, yes, it's getting better and better. You know, the coalition arrangement in South Africa, it's something new. You just really need all the parties to treat one another with some kind of respect and humility. And that's something, unfortunately, the DA in the beginning actually lacked. They thought because they were a bigger party, they can dictate to everyone. They regarded someone like me as a cheeky black. You know, I've always said, you know, some of these people in the DA, when they look at me,
as a cheeky black.
You know, some of the guys in the DA, when they looked at me, I'm 64. You know, when they see me, but fortunate enough, DA has got real star majority, good South Africans committed to those countries. For that reason, Action SA attracts more people from the DA than any other party. And an example I always use, I said, when people say, but you are a DA light, I said, guys, what do you mean? I'm not stupid enough to go and fish and go and fish in the desert. When I go and fish, I go to the sea.
What the DA has been complaining about.
What I'm saying is, I just wanted to tell you that there are some people in the DA who are real. They have a mentality that it is their way or no highway.
Sure. But we hear this from other leaders as well.
But this is also exactly what the DA has always complained about, that smaller parties, new parties, you're taking away from the collective, right? And what you're saying is exactly what they have been saying. Why is it that you were unable to work within the DA to bring more people so that together, instead of trying some multi-party charter, that sounds to me like you're pulling in different directions and hoping to do something together when you were inside the DA
Let me ask the three of you guys to see if you guys don't work on headline news. Tell me, do you guys know why I resigned as the mayor of the city of Johannesburg on the 21st of October 2019, 2 years ahead of time? You guys are in the news. Please tell me.
You see,
because I had a press conference.
Whatever your reasons, I voted for you to be mayor and you stepped down. That was a crushing disappointment. The reasons didn't matter.
You signed up
for the job and you didn't distance.
But Captain, you're not asking.
You told us.
I'm asking.
Hmm. You told us.
You can go into the website now. My speech is there.
I remember
Do you guys know why I resigned 3 years ahead of time?
You told us at the time you were betrayed by the DA.
What did they do?
I can't remember, but I took you seriously.
Captain, you voted for me. Thank you. Do you know why I resigned? As someone who was disappointed.
All I know is that I expected you to stay the distance. You know, when I vote for someone, I expect them to step up. I had the same issue with Mampela when she stood for, I voted for Akhang back in the day.
Okay, let's see.
She didn't complete the job.
Do you care?
Can you remember?
I actually don't care. And this is why I'm asking you.
Okay.
Hold on. I actually don't care. And this is why I'm asking the question that says, if then, when you were inside, you were unable to iron out the differences, why then must I today, as a voter, believe that you can in two different parties?
I think if you don't care, then you're going to really make very dangerous decisions, because your decisions are actually informed by hearsay, people talking in shebeens and headline news. Here's the fact. Please, my speech is there, which I delivered, and I can give you evidence. I resigned because I came across in 2019 across secret meetings between the DA and the EFF. Sorry, the DA and the ANC to have a motion of no confidence against me. I came across facilitated by the IRR. They were having secret meetings. The DA's strategy was to position me as the EFF mayor. Why as an EFF mayor that says I'm taking their residents' money to provide services to people who don't pay taxes and so forth.
I remember
forth.
This.
it's there in the records, guys. Okay. And then from the DA, I was pursuing 35 billion rands of fraud and corruption. So they decided to get together and come out with a plan confirmed by Helen in an interview that they were going to have this motion of no confidence. Now tell me, do you expect me as a normal human being to wait to be embarrassed by a motion of no confidence?
No, I don't.
With evidence.
I'm saying, if you could not iron out your differences, then why must I believe that today you and the DA can work together to deliver what you say you were going to
well,
deliver?
Whether you care or not, Herman Mashaba, it's in politics to provide services to everyone. If the DA did not want to provide services to poor communities, way that you'd
answer. I believe you because Helen said it herself. She's been going on about how the ideal coalition for South Africa to move forward will be a DA-ANC coalition. She said this very publicly.
Many times. So
I'm absolutely on your side on that. But this is all ancient history too. What I think Pumi is also frustrated by, and what many comments and many voters may feel the same, that we have evidence of strife in coalitions. We have evidence of Action SA and other parties. It's not all your fault. Looking like they scupper coalitions. That's what it looks like. So whether it's true or not, that's the perception people have. And that's dangerous.
But what is dangerous, Gareth, is because, people are easily influenced by propaganda, headline news. So people are I don't know whether people are lazy to read and even when the point of reference. Why? What's the point of having these books to read and then tomorrow completely forgotten what's written
Let's give benefit of the doubt out here and look in terms of the MPC charter that you've got right now. Give us a sense of how, in terms of the way in which you've structured this, because you've clearly spent a lot of time working on this and ensuring it gets drafted appropriately. Just give us a breakdown from your perspective, the safeguards that are in place that are going to prevent those collapses that have happened in the past.
Okay. Let me give you a practical life. We've got a written agreement of the MPC. Where we've really committed to a free market economy, non-racial South Africa, non-social justice, not to work with the ANC. All those things are there. It's a public document. Will everyone adhere to this? Can I, as Action SA, guarantee that other parties are committed like we do? One thing I can commit, that as Action SA, we are committed morally. That document is not legally binding. But it's got moral standing. And Action SA is committed to what we signed, fully committed. We don't need any lawyer, any court of law. We are committed to this. But It's like someone saying to me, Herman, you know, every year I go for medical treatment. Must I give you a guarantee because I go for medical, thorough medical treatment that I'm not going to wake up a week later with cancer or whatever? I can't give you those guarantees. And with this agreement, I think it's up to all the parties. I can speak on behalf of Action SA. Action SA is fully committed. We don't need a court of law to tell us. We are morally committed. That document we've signed, we are fully committed to it. But I can't honestly guarantee that other parties are. But so far it's been, it's not easy because life is not easy. Coalitions are not easy. Go to Germany, compromise. But we are committed to the spirit of what we've signed.
So I also think, and not to in any way diminish the value of Canthan or Pumi's questions so far, but I think because you have been in government, even if it's the city of Joburg and in other municipalities where you have had some say and some sway, I think it's unfair to hold you to an account that we wouldn't hold the EFF to, for example, where they haven't governed anything and have at very most swayed the vote.
they're governing Ukululeni now.
they're trying. But again, we haven't really had an experience of being under EFF government in this country and in any major municipality. So we'll get to that. That hopefully won't come in some places, and in other places we'll see how it works out. But I think what's important here is that you come under a lot of criticism, and you were fighting with the EFF yesterday about foreigners. And this is a massive thing which you've developed some reputation. Some people love you for it.
And some people hate me.
Of course. So I want you to have a chance to explain your position on this, because I do think it resonates with many people. And for many, it's a source of great ire with you, that they can never see any common ground with you because of your attitude to these foreign illegal immigrants who come to South Africa for various reasons. But you have a very strong opinion on this, and I want you to be able to say what it is and let people decide.
Gareth and everyone, South Africa was built at the back of migrants. Look at us in this room. Mm. All God creatures and so forth. All great South Africans. Mm. This country was built. You see the South Africans in this house. That's how God wanted it to be. I believe very strongly that we need to really coexist. We need to really learn to coexist. And at the same time, for this country to develop, we must continue encouraging people of the world to come into this country. But however, they must come here legally. And when they're in South Africa, they must respect the laws of our country. South Africa does not need the drug dealers. Don't tell me I must open my borders to drug cartels. Drug cartels, I can tell you, I'm going to, given the mandate, I'm going to lead a charge against the drug dealers. South Africa does not really need people bringing money through mattresses. We've got the Reserve Bank.
Or sofas.
Or sofas. We don't want people to really come and tell us they're coming into South Africa to be cleaners. We don't want people to really come into South Africa to come and run spaza shop, but we don't know how they brought the money into this country. So it is that position. We are unapologetic. If there's anyone who doesn't really like us for it, we respect. Well, but one thing for sure. They must just pray that South Africans do not give us the mandate. Given the mandate, I can tell you the rot in Home Affairs, because the reason why international criminal syndicates have made South Africa the playground is because of the corruption at Home Affairs.
You will clean that out.
We'll have a specialized team within the police, within Home Affairs. South Africans involved issuing the South African documents fraudulently, they will pay a heavy price.
Do you feel like Gayton has stolen a bit of your thunder on this front? Because he was wearing a reflective jacket and chasing people across the Limpopo.
When I was the mayor of the city of Johannesburg, PA was one of the parties that used to criticize me for being xenophobic. ANC went to an extent of reporting me to the South African African Human Rights Commission. But fortunately enough, South Africa has got a constitution. Everything that I'm articulating is carried in our constitution. And it's a constitutional framework, not only in South Africa. It's a worldwide phenomenon. That's why the other day, Mr. Malema talking about borders. Borders are created by the colonists. And I said to Mr. Malema, Mr. Malema, please do me a favor. You know, this idea and concept of yours. Go and talk to your African brothers. Go and get their views on this. But let me tell you, Mr. Malema, South Africa is going to remain a sovereign country. If you want to try this open border policy, one Africa, go and try it somewhere. Give us 20 years. We've got 20, 30 years. South Africa has got its own issues. 12 million of our people are unemployed. 54% of our people live under the breadline. 86 people are being murdered in this country every single day. So, Mr. Malema, go and talk to your brothers, I don't know where, and have that borderless continent, but leave South Africa out of it.
All right, I got an admonishment here from Carl. It says, Gareth, speak for yourself. This is now addressed to me. He says, speak for yourself. I live in Ekurhuleni. The EFF are fucking everything up. He says, our bins get collected twice a month if we're lucky. Water is off a lot of the time. Power is off a lot of the time. So, there's Carl's feedback. I'm not going to argue with him. He lives there. Not good to have the EFF in charge, he's basically saying.
Can I tell you something quickly with Gareth? You know, there was one interview which someone had. People were asked, EFF supporters. They says, would you want EFF to govern a municipality? People said yes. A big number of people says yes, we'd like them to govern. And then the second question was, would you like to live there? All of them said no.
All right.
Well, okay, we don't have a lot of time left. South Africa, according to Stats SA, the median age is 27. So what would you say to a 27-year-old South African to make them vote for you? And by all accounts, this election is definitely going to be swayed by a youth vote. So what would you say to a young person, whether they are voting for the first or the second time, to make them vote for you?
Well, I think let me take you through. I don't know, obviously, how much time you have.
We've just had a
policy conference on the 12th to the 14th of September last year, and those policies are there. Please go. Unfortunately, I forgot to bring you guys the hard copies, but you can.
No, it's fine. We'll find it.
Our policies in terms of our economic policies, we are saying we are going to be for the free market economy where unions will never have a veto right on our economic policies, so that you as South Africans must be able to start businesses without interference by the unions. We'll have the Department of Labor to protect your rights in terms of health and safety measures and so forth. But we are not going to be the government that's going to tell Gareth if I want to work for Gareth, to tell Gareth how much to pay me. If Gareth and I wants to, I'm happy to work for Gareth. Gareth is able to pay me 4,000 rands a month or 6,000, whatever. Government has got absolutely nothing to do with us. People expect me, I must rely on 350 rands. We as Action SA, we are saying we are unapologetic. Please, young South Africans, if you are looking for a racial party, go somewhere else. We'd love your vote. But one thing for sure is that we are committed to a non-racial South Africa. So if you feel you are looking for a racial party, we are happy to miss your vote. Unfortunate, but it's your right.
So you're a big supporter of BEE, or you're a white supremacist.
We are the first political party since 1994 to openly saying BEE. If South Africans give us the mandate, we are going to bury it, and we are going to bury it in an unmarked grave.
You have said that, and the DA have changed their position on this.
We've got our own policy called inclusive economic empowerment, where businesses are going to be forced to pay a percentage of their profits to an opportunity fund, and this opportunity fund is going to be used exclusively in communities which were discriminated against during apartheid, discriminated by the ANC tenderpreneurs and oligarchs to build schools, fund their businesses, and so forth. So we are not just, because we are for empowerment of black people, we are unapologetic about this. Mm-hmm. But we are not going to do this at the expense of pitting South Africans against each other.
Right.
Every business must contribute so that we uplift people. So if you are looking for ANC BBB of 2003, that policy, I'm going to be the
regulations day. Alone are strangling us in bureaucracy.
Let me tell you that policy, Caitlin, I'm going to be the priest on that day. Because we are going to bury it in an unmarked grave in the middle of night in a bush. And if you are most welcome to be there, but unfortunately the only thing that you must understand, as much as it's in at night, whatever, but we'll still cover your eyes. You wouldn't know where we buried.
Your message to young people is you will create the conditions for economic opportunity.
Absolutely. We will close our borders for bad apples. Mm-hmm. I will be the one every day at our borders, at our airports, to have a red carpet for people who are coming to invest, to bring the skills, come and enjoy our country. But drug dealers, people coming to South Africa, I can tell you our borders are going to be closed. Murderers, rapists, drug dealers, we catch you. I can tell you, if you get life sentence, it's going to be life sentence. Thabo Best, as an example, under Action SA, please don't tell me we must rehabilitate Thabo Best. No, what for? He's not going to come out of jail. I've no time to. Thabo Best is not going to come out of jail. If the court has found him guilty and sentenced him to life, it's going to be life without parole under Action SA. And over and above that, what we added is that all these heinous criminals, they're not going to get free accommodation, free meals. No.
What are you going to do?
Monday to on a Thursday like this, our instruction as Action SA will pass laws. 8 o'clock, by 8 o'clock, no one already sentenced these heinous criminals. And we'll separate them from the petty criminals.
Sure.
All these heinous criminals, 8 o'clock, all of them, there must not be no one in the cells.
What are they going to be doing?
They must be in the farms working.
Oh, forced labor.
It's not forced labor. No, they're paying back to society. 5 to 8, they'll be back in the cells at 5 o'clock. If they want a break, they'll get break on Saturday if they cooperate. And all those who don't cooperate, they'll work 7 days. And then Sunday, all of them, half a day, they must be in church.
So
can we ask about healthcare?
So
we believe in social justice. That is why the abolishment of the BE and come out with our own inclusive employment whatever.
No, you've explained this.
Is to address social justice, because I'm in politics to make sure that we uplift the poor people.
All right. You are certainly the most passionate person.
And,
we've had in here.
And so, education. Let me talk about education.
Canton wants to ask you about healthcare.
Let me finish about education. I want to hear this.
Healthcare in terms of priorities for people right now. We have this NHI disaster coming our way. What do you do about it?
It'll be one of those pieces of legislation which, as a matter of agency, we must remove it from our statute books. Because, I mean, it's a disaster. What we need to do, we need to build more hospitals. Can you imagine in this country you want to bring national health, NHI? In the meantime, we've got, 600 unemployed medical doctors. You know, the other day on Saturday, I was with one of the specialist doctors in this country. To think, when we grew up, doctors used to be such respected people. Today in South Africa, where our health condition has worsened, but doctors are unemployed. But the tenderpreneurs, shebeen owners, they're in parliament. You know, what? But they're in parliament. They've got Shaping known as a taxi driver.
Taxi owners.
They're in Parliament. They've got VIP protection who pushes us and they assault us.
Shipping owners and taxi owners are also businessmen.
Yes.
But these businesses that you talk about, that small enterprise should be given an opportunity to grow and thrive so that they can be contributing.
I must fact check you there, Pumi, because we have 250,000 taxis in the country, but they are owned by 20,000 people. So most of the taxi drivers, they're not business owners.
I didn't say that taxi drivers are business owners. I said taxi owners are business owners. They are the most corrupt people in the country.
let's not conflate the issue. We're talking about public representatives where today in Parliament, you have people who are there because they're nice dancers.
You wanted to talk about education.
Yeah.
So I think it's important.
Let me talk about education. Education. Under Action SA, you're going to have one department of education. There's a union called SATU. And I want to declare openly, SATU and I will never see eye to eye. They've destroyed millions of lives of our youth where they control education. Under Action SA, SATU, just really know, appointment of principals, you'll have absolutely nothing to do with it. Absolutely. We will engage. You've got a right to be unions. You can unionize as much as you want. But principals of schools are going to be appointed by us as government. The only people who will consult is the community, which must be served by that principal. We are going to bring back school inspectors. I cannot understand how ANC government and COSATU, they don't want school principals. We will bring back school principals to make sure that our kids are taught. We will focus on ECD centers. That's where we're going to invest so that our kids, by the time they reach 10, they can read for meaning.
So I got into some trouble this week because I retweeted, and I know you did too, Canton, Jacob Zuma's comments about teen pregnancies and education in general and how he wants severe penalties for these people. And I know you've
throwing the pregnant girls on Robben Island.
Now, we've got to start with him. We've got to reopen his red case.
And many people have said the same thing.
No, we've got to start.
That was very unexpected. So please say that again. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to laugh out loud.
Now, how many kids does he have is the point.
Hey. Not how many he's got. We've got the case of rape. So we've got to reopen that case.
The reason I bring this up.
You can't reopen that case. The court's cleared him of that.
So what do you mean? We can appeal.
We can
appeal a judgment.
So we
have a constitutional right to appeal against the judgment.
The reason I bring this up is because there are lots of politicians who are making outlandish promises, like throwing teenage pregnancies onto Robben Island. I mean, that's a little crazy. And
you've got to be out of your mind. You see, South Africa, we smoke drugs that are very dangerous.
But we can't just dismiss Jacob Zuma like you did just now, because I do think he's a very powerful man and he has a lot of supporters, whether they're right or wrong. There are a lot of supporters. I also think that there are a lot of things that you say about SADTU, that the talk about the disease within schools where we have principals and teachers who make these girls pregnant and they get protected by SADTU, which is why I bring it up.
Mm-hmm. But yes, they're not going to Robben Island.
They should. So what are the other things in education? Because you said unifying the departments.
And I think we must respect Robben Island. Robben Island is going to be a monument for South Africa. It's not going to be a prison again in this country. It's got to be a monument for future generations to really preserve our history. So I think when we talk about prison, it cannot really be prisons. We've got in the Kalahari lots of empty spaces. All these people who've stolen our money, the Thabo Bester, that's where they're going to be in there.
Maybe a new prison just for politicians. just for politicians. Okay, so some of the comments here are, and these are from people who like you, so I don't want you to attack them personally, but Congo Chris says, you do sound a bit like a fascist dictator sometimes. We will punish people who disagree with us. You describe the opposing voices as drug addicts. You know, I mean, this does sound to some people like it's my way or the highway.
Well, it's the Bukele approach, and which
I've said to you, I'm not in this business to make money. We've got a country to protect. Our country is burning. This house is burning, and bringing friendship and Ubuntu into the mix. Honestly, that's when we will destroy this country. This country really requires.
So you're not going to coddle people who are not interested in the policies you stand for. In other words, it must be clear to those people. You're not going to see eye to eye. They can't vote.
Commit. I'm saying I want to make it clear to criminals. You murder someone and you expect me, I must practice Ubuntu. Forget about it. Forget about it. If you want to be reformed, don't commit crime.
What about voting rights for criminals?
Zero tolerance. Okay.
Would you remove voting rights for criminals?
For criminal with immediate effect.
No voting rights for criminals.
For what? Why must my life be dictated by Thabo Beste, who's not going to come out of jail?
Lucky Motlapeng says, Herman Mashaba dropped gems today. I will watch this again later. There are people here who have decided to vote for you. There's one comment here from somebody a little bit earlier. They were considering you or Sarah to vote for. That's Colleen, who we had on last week. I was voting for either Action SA or Sarah, but after this discussion with Herman, I am definitely going with Action SA. Herman Mashaba is a pragmatist and does not speak about things in ideology, which I like. Okay? And then other people saying they're not going to vote for you. This is how it goes. This is how it goes.
But that's life.
So are you most excited about the certain parts of the country where you think you've got a really good chance? Are you contesting everywhere equally? You're going to work yourself to death because I know you've
been... Gauteng.
Gauteng is your main focus.
It's our main focus. Action SA has to govern Gauteng, because if we govern, or when we govern Gauteng, then we'll be able to rescue the entire country.
Final question from you, Pums. Anything you want to throw out there? Or are you happy?
I think I've had my fill. This has been...
And Canton, any last thoughts?
Herman, on the assumption that you end up being very successful, but you have to form a coalition government at that point, is it going to be a sticking point for you if the DA ends up being the people who have a presidential candidate to put forward that then gets elected?
Look, fortunate enough, we signed the multi-party charter agreement in front of South Africa and in the world. And we agreed as part of that contract, and it's a public document, that the president is not going to be elected from someone coming from the party that emerges as the biggest. So we said we'll come out with a mechanism where we can consult South Africans as to who's the best person in this coalition to actually lead the party. Lead the government, whether it comes from the DA, IFP, or Freedom Front Plus, ACDP, and other parties, I think we're comfortable. I think our motivation behind being part of the multi-party is to ensure that we can work together, South Africans, to remove this case called ANC from government.
Would you support legislation to allow South Africans to directly elect a president?
Absolutely. For us, actually, if you look at the core values of Action SA, which we adopted on the day I launched the party on the 29th of August, the seventh one is actually electoral reform. When we go into parliament, we are going to lobby for South Africans one day to elect the president directly, to elect the premiers and the mayors, including heads of national prosecuting authority and so forth, so that they can be independent of political interference. So we'll lobby. It is in our documents. It's in our manifesto.
I want to ask, just as a final question, a personal question: how is your amazing wife Connie, who puts up with your politicking, who is the power behind the throne, and who I've met on several occasions, and she herself is a powerhouse? Is she happy that you are working day and night, and is she supporting you in every way possible? Is she telling you, look, it's time for you to get out of there? Can you believe driving it? Us crazy. You've been married for years now.
As I got up this morning, you know, on Sunday, the 3rd of March, I'll be married to this young, beautiful wife for 42 years.
Amazing.
This Sunday, it's our 42nd
anniversary. But she hasn't persuaded you to stop.
And Connie has been really supportive. Actually, you know why I married Connie at the age of 22? Because I was a danger to myself. I needed protection. And I chose this woman to protect me. And I can tell you, if there's a kind of certificate that one can give while I'm still alive, Connie's still alive, Connie deserves the biggest award any human being can ever get from a husband, because I'm who I am today. She shaped me. She protected me. She supports me unconditionally. And I'm internally grateful to her. And I'm looking forward on Sunday. We've not planned, maybe we'll go out for lunch, whatever, but I'll be married to her legally for 42 years.
That's fantastic.
And illegally.
Yeah, no, we know what happens to illegals on Herman's watch. All right, so Herman, thank you. There are lots of unanswered questions here, but we don't honestly have time, and you've got a big announcement to make at 11 o'clock this morning. Someone already is throwing around that it's not a big surprise who you're going to announce, but we'll leave it to you. And thank you for coming in. You always make yourself available. You are not afraid to answer questions. Sometimes it's to people's satisfaction, other times not. But we appreciate you being here. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I think South Africans must learn to accept that we are human beings. God created this way. We must agree to disagree.
Very good. Not bad
Amen
advice.
Amen to that.
Not bad advice. All right. We will see you for another Burning Platform next Thursday. More party leaders coming. If you like Action SA, you know where to put your cross. Herman Mashaba, good to see you. Thank you very much. Thanks, everybody. Cheers. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Cliffcentral.com.